You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Listening to the MemoCast, episode 16. You might need to get a little closer. And today, to kick off our four-week period of special guests, also being called Superstar September, is the Nuff.
Yup.
So Nuff here hosts a beer pong league that I frequent, and we met at the comic book store that I used to work at many years ago. And he's just a guy we kept in contact, and he's rad, which is why I brought him into the fold. And he knows a fuck ton about comics, in particular DC.
No, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that, and I do miss New Age Comics. Every time we go to Wingnuts, I always shed a tear because the sign's still there.
Yeah, I shed a tear just driving by the 10.
Yeah,
because it's there in the back.
It's still flickering. The sign still flickers.
No one ever came to fix it
or take it down.
Yeah. All right. So now that introduced the special guest co-host for the week, we're going to go into some quick little newsworthy notes and then do some video game chatter. Haven't talked about video games in a minute, but there's been some intense news these past couple days. So first little tidbit is Robin Williams' character on World of Warcraft was revealed last week, and it's pretty much a genie. Haha. You know, when he comes out, he says his intro line from Aladdin, which is a nice little nod to the recently deceased, and you know, hopefully WoW players of the future will actually get it, but who knows how kids are these days. Other thing is a comedian and anchor of his own show, John Oliver, was just part of an episode of Sesame Street in a really hilarious bit teaching kids about vocabulary. It formed as a new show, and we actually just watched it before we started recording. So what were your thoughts on that little...
It's what I would come to expect from Sesame Street. I mean, there was some... So there's a little tongue tied here, but
composure.
Composure. It felt like Sesame Street. I mean, granted, I haven't watched Sesame Street since, you know, well over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but it felt like it. And but no, it had some good humor on there. John Oliver never disappoints. He's very hilarious.
Yeah, and part of me, I feel like, might not have even been written dialogue. I feel like he might have just done that, like, improv, off the cuff.
Some ad-lib in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we see more of him on there and other similar guest stars. Would love to see Jon Stewart there for a bit of Cookie Monster on the side. And really quick, while we're on talking about TV news, and not huge details, but we finally got, like, our first official glimpse of the Simpsons Futurama crossover. We got the little brief summary of what's going on. Apparently the Futurama crew has to travel back in time to stop Bart from doing something, and that's how their paths cross. And they showed us an image wherein Bender goes into Killbot mode and is in front of Homer for whatever reason.
The only thing that came to mind when I thought of that, because I wasn't really too sure on what the plot would be, but I can only imagine Mo going to one of the suicide booths. And that's just what I think of. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it would have been interesting either way to see either the Futurama crew in the past or the Simpsons in the future.
Yeah. I feel like the Simpsons in the future would have actually been a little bit more interesting, because we've seen the Futurama go into the past in the episode where they go to the 1950s.
Yeah.
And they, because they get stuck through the microwave time warp, and then Fry ends up becoming his own grandfather.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's when Fry knocks up his own grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah, which like I said, like, so I would have loved to see in the opposite, be like, oh, hey, the Simpsons are in the future, especially because I feel like there's so much more those characters can do, being like, well, this is what the future is like.
And it'd just be pretty much Homer figuring out, like, new ways to eat.
Yeah. Pretty much. But so we'll see how that goes. I know that Matt Groening said that they would, you know, definitely do some jokes that people have made on the internet before. So hopefully, you know, it ends up being entertaining. It definitely, from what I've heard so far about this, I'm more excited about this than the Family Guy crossover. But I'm also not a huge Family Guy fan. Although
I watched a 5-minute preview.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't really want to expect much anyways, because truth be told, I haven't really followed new episodes of The Simpsons in years, but yeah. I gave up Family Guy cold turkey a long time ago. But you can tell that Family Guy wrote this.
Yeah.
That this was not written by Simpsons writers. You could just tell. It was just like, it didn't have that sort of, I guess the word is...
Didn't have the heart.
The heart or the intelligence, frankly.
Really?
You know?
The only joke that really came off as very intelligent was the cutaway where they go to they're in the airplane and they're like, you know, they're shooting down the Homer and Peter are shooting down pilots, and then they go, woo, 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 like they celebrate, and then you see Bob from Bob's Burgers in the back, and he's like, what is he doing here? And he's like, he needs our help to carry him. Look what happened to the last guy who tried to fly by himself. And it shows Cleveland in an airplane on fire crashing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, that was actually pretty well done.
And if I remember correctly, the whole thing was a lead-in to one of the typical Family Guy jokes where it's like, oh, it was like the time when we, you know.
And he's like, I don't follow you. He's like, well,
there's that. Like, and he's like egging him on, like, and it's just kind of like, it's like the knee gag.
Yeah, I feel like the even Family Guy has gotten a little too meta in regards to their own self-awareness that they do a lot of cutaway gags like that.
They've always, that's just been the thing with them since day one, you know, from the Gravy Train ad to Kool-Aid Man to, you know, but yeah, I could go on.
Yeah, but so we'll end up seeing how it turns out, because maybe it won't be as bad as we're expecting, but who knows. So to stray away from TV, we're going to talk about video games, because there was some big announcements on two popular franchises, and so the first one we're going to talk about is Mortal Kombat. So Mortal Kombat just announced a few days ago that the Mortal Kombat X comes out April 14th of next year, so right in time for tax season. So
yep.
I guess they want you to spend your tax return on this
game.
They
want you to wait till the dead last minute and then get in those tax refunds. Get the plush editions.
get all the DLC.
That's right.
No, and so they also announced that Goro will be making his return, and so Goro's been there since the first game.
Has he ever been a playable character?
I think he has in Mortal Kombat like trilogy.
Okay, because
in a couple other games.
Because I know that, like, see, that's the thing. It's like I remember Mortal Kombat 3 when it was another sort of, it was the Goro girl, I guess. I forget her name.
I forget what it is too.
But I don't know. I guess I just, you know, because I did get the last game that they released. I think it was Mortal Kombat 9.
I think so.
So I mean, I did play that. That was a lot of fun to go back to that, because it was the side scroller, not it was more the side scroller fighting and less of the 3D sort of you know, rendered and whatnot.
Yeah, which I felt like when they went to that whole 3D realm, I felt like it was taking on almost a little bit too much at times.
Yeah,
you know,
and that, because that's the thing. It's just like, you know, like old school Mortal Kombat. You just have to learn those key control moves, and then the same thing right at the end when you want to get on your friendship or a nice fatality or something like that, which it seemed to harken back to in the last game, which was very enjoyable.
Yeah, and so I said this one's supposed to be a reboot of sorts, so hopefully we'll see more of like the classic feel going on, just obviously with better graphics. And it's obviously NetherRealm has been working on this for a really, you know, long time, because they've been teasing this for I think 2 or 3 years now. And so NetherRealm has been working on a lot of games in the past couple years. In particular, a favorite of ours is Injustice.
Yes.
You know, which deals with DC characters. And speaking of DC characters, the DC character made some announcement news in regards to his latest franchise, and that is Arkham Knight. Release date is set for June 2nd, 2015.
That's too far away.
It is too far away. We're a good 9 months. You can have some kind of a baby in that time.
Yeah, I know. And then just name the child after that, you know, after somebody at Rocksteady for coming back and finishing out the trilogy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not to say that Arkham Origins was bad by any stretch. I mean, I think it was Warner Brothers Montreal.
Yeah.
But I think that Steam, that they... they moved forward on that one and did that one, but I know that Rocksteady did everything in their power. They gave them all the maps, they gave them all the character renderings, they just let them have everything so that they can make that game as you know, true to the other two Arkham games as possible. I mean, it was a fun game. I mean, I finished the story mode, but I didn't nitpick and go through every single challenge like I did with you know, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yeah,
but I'm definitely looking forward to taking control of the Batmobile and just immersing myself back in that world again because it's been too long. Yeah, especially on the Xbox One. That's gonna
look good. Yeah, speaking of Batmobile, they one of the pre-orders. There's an exclusive with Batmobile figure.
It's like a flat out just a Batmobile, like not really like a statue. I think it's like more of like a and not really a toy, but it's the Batmobile, but then it also transforms into the Batmobile in the tank mode, which, if you've seen any of the footage that they've released, when you actually take control of the Batmobile in this game, and it merges into like some kind of a like a urban assault vehicle of some sort. So it's got like a some kind of a cannon on top, which I'm sure has got non-lethal rounds, of course. But
I don't know if they would actually include lethal rounds with a toy. They're kind of funny though.
No, that's just, they're really big rubber bullets.
Yeah, that'd actually be pretty rad.
Yeah, and so. But they, I think they have the two special edition versions. They have the $100 one, which comes with the steel box for the game itself, a comic book, skins, because every game's got to have skins and different costumes these days. Not that I'm complaining. I like my Batman with a lot of costumes.
What skins it comes with, or is that even
announced? It says it's going to be New 52, so it's probably going to be like the Jim Lee version.
Yeah.
You know what they might have that they just released in the Batman and Robin comic was like his... his hell suit.
Okay.
Which is like just this big old mechanized like armor with like these huge bat wings that he wears when he goes to Apocalypse to, you know, try and bring home Damien.
Yeah.
But it might be something like that, but I think it just said something about New 52, so if it's been in the New 52, then I'm sure it's going to be something included. But I think it's three skins, the comic book, an art book, and then the $100 version comes with a statue of Batman, and then the $200 version gets you that nice Batmobile, which looks to be a pretty decent size, but when it comes to those special editions, looks can be deceiving a little bit.
Well, no, because I don't know if it was the last game that came out, but like didn't the figure like look bigger when it was announced, but then when we got it, it was like this tiny little thing?
Well, I know that I've got the, going back to Injustice, I actually bought the Collector's Edition, which came with a statue, and the statue was a decent size. I mean, I didn't expect it to be ginormous, but I mean, the box certainly was. But I was a little disappointed when I opened it up, and it wasn't actually like a statue. It was more like a giant toy.
Yeah.
It was like plastic and whatnot, but it's still, you know...
It still looks good.
It's in my case, along with my other DC paraphernalia and whatnot, among Batman statues and whatnot.
It's a nice case.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And, all right, so that's going to do it for this first half. We're going to take a musical break real quick, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some pasta and some other random things. Pasta, of all things, is somehow making this week's episode. So keep it here, and we'll be back in a quick minute. Some people try to have me walk with my head.
Kids swim to shore. Your father and I are going to have a Prosecco picnic.
Prosecco.
Oh, yeah, that.
Okay.
Bye, Tina.
Tina, oh, come back.
We were joking.
Remember, do your ice cream scoop.
Ooh, now I'm hungry for ice cream.
Thanks for listening to the musical break. Now that we're back, we're going to jump into some Olive Garden news. So the Olive Garden unlimited pasta deal is back. And to celebrate, earlier today, they released these promotional, like I want to say a gift card, but it was like a pass, where for $100 for the next 7 weeks, which is how long the promotional campaign is going to run, you could eat as much pasta, breadsticks, salad, soup, and Coke products as you can. And yeah. So it was like everything. And so they went on sale at about 3 p.m. Eastern, and, you know, obviously they sold out, like, extremely fast because, you know.
Obviously. I mean, that's a food, you know, nice food budget for 7 weeks there. You just eat at Olive Garden every night and...
Well, yeah, like, exactly, like, especially because, like, there's really nothing that's, like, that's hands-off.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, you just, you can eat something different every night, too, potentially, you know, you can have a nice little white sauce over here, you can have some bow tie pasta,
oh, yeah.
Maybe a little sausage on some of those, you know.
Especially if you're carbo-loading for, like, a marathon.
Yeah, or if you want to be good, just munch on some breadsticks and salad, I mean, you know.
Yeah, so, either way, like, those are gone, but I'm going to make it a goal. And we should make this into a challenge accepted challenge where we can see how many bowls of pasta can, like, all the competitors eat in one sitting.
I think we can do that. I think that'd be interesting to see. We just have to get the camera outside in case any of the old vomit alert comes to play, because we'll see what happens there. But that definitely sounds... I mean, I think I've done the Endless Possible before. I think I did like three bowls or something. That was like my max.
Oh, wow.
But
my max? I did this years ago. My max was like 6.5 bowls.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and but dude, I was like... A, I was hurting that night, and B, I was farting. Well, it was so bad.
Also, though, with the pasta, were you going with, like, the meats and stuff in there, too?
No meats.
Okay, that's probably where I went, because I think I did, like, meatballs with each one or something like that, or sausage or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I had to have some kind of something in there, but if I just went straight up pasta or something like that, I could probably put away a bit more.
Yeah. So we'll figure out how to do it, and at some point, this video of us trying to kill ourselves with Olive Garden pasta... we'll reach the internet, and you will either laugh or cry at our idiocy.
Yep, you'll likely laugh.
Yeah, and for those of you, you should give the channel a plug.
Oh yes, it's Main Event Pong, and Mondo was saying, it is a beer pong league, but we also do food and drink challenges. We have a beer review show called Neophobia, which has been become quite popular amongst the. Main Event crew. We've got quite a few of those on the back burner that are either being edited or scheduled to appear, but we upload new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Monday,
yes.
Monday.
A case of the Mondays. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so go ahead and check us out on YouTube. It's Main Event Pong. There's nothing even close to the name on that. So when you find it, it is us. So just go ahead and check out some of the videos. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a subscribe, and check it out.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say is that if Nick at Night still showed the Munsters, Munsday would actually
there you go.
Be like their perfect promotional name. It's like, it's Munsday.
I think that's a promotion just waiting to happen. You need to get them on the horn.
I do. I'm going to call Nickelodeon executives.
Munsday.
Munsday, you guys. No, all right. So that's... coming back, we'll see how that goes. This next one is more pertinent to LA, and then that's Quentin Tarantino, who actually owns the New Beverly Cinema out in Los Angeles, is taking more of a hands-on approach in managing the property. So essentially the way this whole thing works is that he's owned it for a couple of years now. He bought it when the original owner died, and but he's let the family essentially handle all the programming. And so right now the cinema, which I've been to a couple times to do midnight screenings because they show cult films there.
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is they're remodeling it all this month and putting in a brand new, like a 6-channel sound system,
mm-hmm.
and just other things to update. And then when they come back in October for the next 3 months, Quentin Tarantino is going to handle all the, like pretty much all the event booking. So he's going to like plan the entire calendar for the next 3 months. So like showing specifically a lot of movies from his personal, like, 35mm, like, film collection.
Oh.
Yeah, so you're going to see a lot of prints of stuff that, you know, is very rare, hard to come by, and just, like, and especially even, like, stuff that he's made. So he's going to show, like, those prints of his movies, you know? So it's going to be really rad, and then after that, they're going to work out a way where, like, the family will still choose some programming, but Quentin's just going to, like, do more than just be, like, just the owner who would give suggestions every now and again.
Take a more hands-on approach and just kind of, you know, these are the films that inspired me. These are the films that I enjoy.
Yeah.
These are the films that I make parodies of.
Parodies.
Oh, I'm sorry, homages.
Yeah.
Let's say homage, yeah.
Homage is the better word.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, so it should be fun. Like, I've usually the movie I go down to see the most is Scott Pilgrim. They do a Scott Pilgrim screening once a month.
Nice.
At midnight, and so I've gone about 3 times to see it, and it's always nice. One of the times I went, they actually had, they had Edgar Wright, Brian Lee O'Malley, and then they had Brandon Routh, and two other people there. One was the actress who played Knives, whose name escapes me, and then the actress who plays Ramona, who's, I always...
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Okay, I was going to say, her last name is Winstead.
Well, yeah, she's in the news recently due to the...
the
dude,
leak?
Dude, yeah, the leak. That's what we'll call it, the leak.
The leak. You know what it is, you know what happened, we're not going to get into it.
Yeah, no, we have no opinions on it.
Yeah. Well, we do, but we're not going to get into it.
Exactly.
It's better left unsaid. That's so, yeah, right. So, tentatively, the New Beverly Cinema's schedule for October is supposed to be out in about a week or two. So, hopefully, if you see something rad, maybe we'll hype it up on the internet. Maybe we'll go do a screening of something. We'll see. And with that, we're going to close today's episode, this week's episode, on a huge segment dedicated to wrestling. Wrestling has kind of invaded the last couple of episodes, but this is a very tumultuous period for wrestling as a whole, but in particular, the WWE. And first, we're going to talk, I guess, like a nicer thing. That's the card game that's come out for mobile phones.
Yes, yeah, I've actually downloaded it on my Android, but it's a free game. You can get it, you know, either on your iPod, your iPhone, any Android device. It's called WWE SuperCard, and it's actually made by 2K, who does the games. Yeah, so like WWE 2K15 is coming out on the next gen systems. All signs are pointing to it being very amazing.
Yeah,
but the card game itself, it's very very simple to pick up. I mean, you're given a starter deck to begin with. And then what you do is you play in exhibition matches against other people. And essentially, you've got like different stats like speed or power or charisma, things of that nature. And essentially, it's like kind of like war. You put down a card, whichever one has the higher ranking wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they've got wrestlers from all the eras. I mean, they've got Big John Studd cards. They've got Daniel Bryan cards. They've got... Justin Gabriel and I'm trying to think of what's
they got a Zack Ryder card.
Oh no, they've got several Zack Ryder cards.
whoa.
Exactly. No, they got every wrestler is represented. They've got Jake the Snake, they got Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
They got Hulk Hogan.
Pretty rad. Now, since you played, I've yet to play it, but everyone keeps hyping it up to me. So the way it works is you essentially, like, you get a deck, and then the cards come out at random, and so you just have to kind of hope that you draw the right cards at the right time.
Well, what you do is you set up your deck, because what you're given certain cards. I mean, they have them in different, rarities as well. They have common, uncommon, rare, which is, you know, if you play Magic the Gathering or anything like that, you know, any collectible card game, you have your different rarities in terms of the cards. And, of course, the more rare it is, the better it is. Now, they have... they have up to legendary, epic, and legendary rankings, which yeah. I've only gotten up to super rare.
Yeah.
You know, right now my top card that I've got, it's a... And what you do is if you got two of the same card, you can combine them and it becomes a pro card.
Okay.
And so I've got one that is a Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
That's a pro super rare.
Okay.
But there's two different play styles. There's the exhibition, which is... You literally just play random people on the internet. You've got your guys set up. I mean, and then you can also use... You can use... what you do is you win cards for matches.
Yeah.
You either get one card if you lose the match.
Yeah.
And it's usually... It's three rounds, usually, unless you go into a tie. Then it goes into a bonus fourth round.
Yeah.
So either you win... You either win two cards if you win the best out of three.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you get one card. Now you can get anything between a common to a rare or whatnot. Once you get a rare card, though, because it's like kind of like a memory, you know, like the card game memory.
Yeah.
And you just like you pick a random card and it flips it over and you get that card. Now, if you get a rare card, it resets the whole board and it fills it up again. So it's just, and what you do is you take all those commons and those uncommons and whatnot, because essentially you want to get rares and super rares. You want to beef up your deck.
Yeah, you want a deck to be a powerhouse. You
exactly.
Gotta, you got to play. Pretty consistently to get something worthwhile to use.
Exactly, and then what you do is you take those other cards in. You actually train is what they call it, and what it does, it takes that card, it beefs it into another card.
Okay.
Because the cards have levels to them.
Yeah.
So like right now, that Ziggler that I have, because he's a pro, he goes up to a level 30.
Yeah.
And right now, I think I've got him up to like level 12, so he's got a ways to go.
Yeah, he's not too bad though.
No, not at all. And
he's almost to Money in the Bank status.
I don't know. He's looking pretty diesel on the on the card there, though. He's all spread out there and he's all happy. But
speaking of Dolph and speaking of being happy, I feel like they finally been putting him back in the spotlight again, because I feel like for the longest time he was just kind of, they just weren't doing anything with him.
I feel that too. I mean, he's getting some good matches in there. He's the Intercontinental Champion, and you know, he's got a nice little rivalry going on with the Moneymaker.
The Moneymaker and Mizdow.
And Mizdow, yes.
I feel like they finally found...
I was just about to say, they finally found something for him after just so much
of his crappy gimmick. He was like, it's a, what was it, Vincent K. McMando? And then he gets knocked out by the Great Khali in one punch.
Oh, he came out in like the flannel shirt and the wig. He was the Shawn Michaels clone.
Yeah. Or there was that. Well, he was a basketball player at one point, which to me was like, really?
I think what had happened was it was in he was in a Spurs outfit, and I think they were in Miami.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
And no, I think it was last Monday Night Raw where not only did he come out with Mizdow, he came out with like his stylist.
Yeah, and he's doing his makeup up there at ringside.
Yeah, where Antonio is just pretty much carrying the whole fight, which was. You know, the gimmick worked well with that match.
And you know, speaking of, picking up the pace and really, pushing somebody, then you get to the opposite end of the spectrum with Cesaro.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, it's like what they were doing with Ziggler in terms of, like, push and whatnot. It seems like Cesaro can do no right now. I mean, at one point he was a Paul Heyman guy. Yeah. He won the Battle Royale by throwing Big Show over the top rope, which was amazing.
It was,
but it just seems like I don't know if it's because Brock Lesnar decided to come back and now all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, Heyman can only have one Paul Heyman guy. It seems like unless you're Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman loves you for like a month, and then after that you just like kick to the curb,
pretty much. And you know what sucks is I feel like they're kind of really underutilizing Paul Heyman in that sense. And it might be because Paul Heyman doesn't want to work that much, but I feel a really good way to use Paul Heyman is to have his own stable of guys that are all heels, but not necessarily part of the authority.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just kind of like maybe Guns for Hire or something like that, you know, where it's like, you know, the authority can only do so much with the corporate Kane and, you know, Randy Orton and whatnot.
Yeah, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins.
Oh, that guy can wrestle though. That guy's electrifying.
He's great. Yeah, no. Not only is he electrifying, but he's just great on the mic.
He is. Yeah, no. And that's the thing. It's like we went to you did too. We went to SmackDown recently in Ontario, and myself and my friend Roland, we wanted to get Seth Rollins shirts.
We did,
but they didn't have them.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed by how limited the merch was there.
Yeah. They had Roman Reigns shirts, but I was like, where's the Rollins?
I know, there's no Rollins and there was no Ambrose.
There was no Ambrose.
I know at that point Ambrose was, you know, quote unquote out.
Yeah, but still. It's like they have
Actually, no. They did have the Ambrose shirt.
They didn't have the hoodie.
They didn't have the hoodie, but they had the really god awful looking white shirt.
No, I want the hoodie.
Yeah, the hoodie's nice looking. If they took that logo that's on the back, where it's got like the lunatic fringe, and then it says Ambrose or whatever. Yeah. They put that on the front of like a regular black shirt.
Yeah,
that'll sell.
Yeah, no, I'm just like I said, like the merch was like because the last time they were here, which was in February.
Yeah,
they had way more merchandise, and I was like, are they just like trying to carry less with them to like save on costs, or what's the deal?
Because that's the thing. It's like I remember the last WWE event I went to, which was granted. We're talking like the early 2000s, so I mean that was a while ago. So I mean there was like multiple booths on the inside of the place, and they had like a giant wall of like all these different options of things. But it was like they had the one little kiosk on the outside of the building, and I didn't see anything there that really, you know, tickled my fancy. But then I got inside, and then it was an even smaller booth right there at the front. I'm like, are you kidding me?
No, like my seats are like right next to a booth, and or like not a booth, but like a little thing going on, And I was just like, the first thing I said to myself, I was like, wow, this is like half the size of the one they had last time.
Yeah.
You know, because like, but this was also right before WrestleMania. So maybe they were just trying to push way more merch at the time.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, dude, this is like really limited. And I don't know. Like I said, they've been cutting costs. Like, you know, they don't.
They have been.
Because I was reading that they like now bring one less vehicle. Like, to, you know, like, he hasn't even made an appearances lately. But you know they dropped the podium for Barrett and just other like they even have less pyrotechnics.
Yeah, because I think there was like the pyrotechnics for the Usos.
Yeah,
and I think that was about it.
Yeah,
that night
there was one other one, but I can't remember. But even the Usos thing, like it used to be like a more grand thing. Now it's just like they do like they're all dude like the little I forget the little chant. Yeah. And then it's like one little pop.
I don't know. It got me to jump a little bit there when they did a little explosion.
Oh, dude, it's loud.
Yeah. Like, but I think it was that, and I think when Kane came out in the end of the show, which didn't air, of course.
They always do a bunch of dark stuff.
Yeah. But no, that was my big I was glad that I got to see two Ambrose match, or not Ambrose, but Rollins matches, which actually also happened to be the final appearance of RVD,
Mr.
which
Monday Night.
Yep, which I didn't realize until after the show when you had posted that, and I was having dinner.
Oh yeah, my friend Caton, he texted me the link, and he was just like, "Dude, you just saw his last matches," because he knew I was at SmackDown.
Yeah,
and I was just like, "Damn." And so I'm wondering, what is he going to do? Like, there's not really many other promotions. Is he just going to stop wrestling altogether? Or I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't see him going to TNA.
I mean, I don't think I see anybody going to TNA. If TNA's here in 2015, I'll be surprised.
I don't know. I was, like, hearing rumors that, like, you know, about, like, Bully Ray, you know, when his contract is up. But then I heard, like, WWE's, like, not even remotely interested. And I'm, like, wondering why.
Yeah.
That he's become, I mean... Even if you brought in D-Von and him to, like, get a couple matches in as the Dudleys, I mean, people would love that. But then again, I mean, you're also... I mean, I don't know. What do they call this now? I mean, I've heard it... I mean, of course, there's the PG era.
Yeah.
But then now I've heard they're calling it the reality era.
Yeah.
Like, is that what we're in now, the reality era?
I guess. I don't know if there's another better name to call it, but I would say it's more of the celebrity-ish kind of era, because they're really hyping that up a lot with the Total Divas, and then now with the WWE Studios, they're really trying to push that more in the storylines. Like, that's how The Miz is, you know, the moneymaker.
I'll tell you what, though, that angle certainly does work for him, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's just, when he won the Intercontinental title, though, I was just so... I mean, granted, it's like, I'm like watching the match, and I'm thinking to myself, freaking Miz didn't get eliminated. Mm-hmm. He's hiding somewhere. Watch this shit. Yeah. So I was just like, ah. But in any case, now I lost my train of thought.
We're just talking about, like, what to call this current era.
Yeah, so I don't know. I've heard it been called the reality era just because of all the internet talk and, you know, a lot of the opinions. And
you know what we should call it is the 999 era.
The 999 era, yes. No, that's what it's going to become pretty soon. Yeah. But they'll probably become the bankrupt era if they don't get more viewers for $9.99 a month with a 6-month commitment.
You know what? I feel like we're going to see a big boom in people wanting to subscribe next year, closer to WrestleMania.
Yeah, probably towards the end of the year when you get closer to, like, the Royal Rumble and things like that. It's, I mean, because they do have the other option, I think, where it's like $12.99 with no commitment.
Yeah.
But so you can pretty much, like, go month to month at $12.99. Yeah,
I mean, it makes more sense to just do the 6-month commitment, because they don't charge it all at once like most places
do. I checked my PayPal, and they do have that amount on hold.
Yeah.
Like, I see the full amount, but I see month after month it's subtracted a bit.
Yeah.
So that amount is, like, kind of frozen a little bit, but because I noticed that, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, they didn't just charge me the full amount, did they? But no, they didn't. They just it's just kind of there, but they're taken away from it. But then again, though, I mean, you know, they also have the other programming on the show that they just started, the Monday Night War, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And definitely a lot better than Legends House.
Oh, God.
It was so bad.
Oh, no, it was so bad. I'm not looking forward to season 2.
They're better now. I feel like they should just focus more on different eras. Just like how we have the Monday Night Wars, maybe go back to, like, the 80s. Like, I would love to see a show, because I feel like that was such a huge period, because when WrestleMania first went down and Hulkamania started, I feel like that in itself was such a huge period for what was going on in wrestling that would make a great, like, documentary series.
Well, I mean, I love what they do with, I mean, well, granted, the Behind the Rings are all already produced, you know, documentaries and, you know, behind the scenes on, like, certain stars or whatnot. But WrestleMania Rewind is very, very good and very informative. Those have always been enjoyable. Plus, they also put the match that they're, you know, talking about in its entirety in the episode.
Yeah.
So you get all the behind the scenes, you get the match itself, and then you get the kind of like the closing on it.
Yeah. Plus, you also get main event, which, you know, it's hit or miss depending on what the card is, but more importantly, you get NXT.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's this coming Thursday is their
like pay-per-view.
Yep, the TakeOver, which is the NXT TakeOver, and the main event is going to be...
Women's Championship, or is it something
else? Nope, the Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
I remember, I don't know if I was talking to you about it, but I totally called that.
Yeah.
Because of what had happened with Prince Pretty and and Adrian Neville,
yeah.
where Tyson Kidd came in and interfered,
yeah.
and then, of course, Sami Zayn came in for the save, and I'm thinking yeah. to myself, okay, let's see where this storyline is going. But, of course, they got William Regal now as the new GM.
Oh, that's nice.
And he came out to announce Adrian Neville's opponent for TakeOver, mm-hmm. and then, of course, Tyson Kidd comes out, then Tyler Breeze comes out, yeah. and Sami Zayn comes out, and then... And then actually, Neville's the one that says, "I'll take all you on."
Yeah.
And then William Regal's like, "Okay."
Yeah, I've missed like the last 2 weeks, so I've been a little out of the loop. I know another big match that's going to be there is what is it, Bayley versus Charlotte?
Yep.
Which I kind of want Bayley to win.
Well, you know what though, I kind of have a feeling that she might win because, looking at the Divas division right now and the main roster, I mean mm-hmm. it's essentially. You got the Paige AJ Lee show,
yeah.
and then Total Divas over here. So yeah. they really need to fill it out more. So I can see them bringing Charlotte up.
Yeah, she's a flair, man. I mean, yep. she's got the natural like ability to be a great heel, and she's doing it so far.
Exactly. Well, see, that's the thing. It's like when Bayley won the number one contendership, she actually because I think she beat Alicia Fox. What's her name?
Sasha Banks. The boss.
Yes, she'll be coming up at some point too.
Yeah.
No, she had beaten her for the number one contendership, and then Charlotte actually met her at the top of the ramp there and actually shook her hand. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I thought she was, you know, a heel, so yeah. to speak. But I don't know, I think like for a second there, they were like, because the BFFs broke up and everything.
Yeah.
So maybe they were just trying to play her off as maybe like a sympathetic sort of
you did me a solid here by taking out the boss.
Yep, exactly.
And kind of proving my point that I'm better than her.
Yep. So that should be a good match, though, because I'd like to... I don't know. I'm still waiting for... I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I'm still waiting for Bayley to shed the whole goody-goody
hug
and stuff like that and just start getting just fierce. Like, I'm wondering if she'll break out and just, like, Hulk out or something like that, just get a really big bear hug or something.
I don't know if Charlotte. I would like that, but I love her. I love the hug-plex. I'm all about it.
Oh, the Bayley-to-belly?
Yeah. Wasn't because the alternate name is the Hugplex, isn't it?
Yeah, the Hugplex. Yeah,
the Bayley to Belly.
The Bayley to Belly, and then you know the chants in the crowd. Bayley's gonna hug you,
yeah. dude. Like people are really into her, and I love it because what could have easily gone horrible for her went really well.
And that's the thing, though. It's just that you look at the way that they have the angles for these characters and whatnot mm-hmm. on NXT, and how they might transfer to the main roster, and you look at the way Bayley is now, and you have to wonder, would that transfer to the main yeah. roster? Because look at Emma.
Yeah.
People are sick of Emma.
Oh, yeah.
They're sick of the dance. There's no bubbles, granted, but I mean, I know that she ended up getting... I know she was released from the company and then brought back because of her...
shoplifting.
Her little shoplifting thing in my home state of Connecticut.
She's Australian.
You know those filthy Aussies. But no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when I was surprised to see her when she came out on SmackDown when we were watching that
well,
there.
I mean,
but
that match was like 30 seconds. She was a jobber at that point.
I know. It was all about AJ, you know, eating that
chocolate.
That chocolate, which I kind of missed.
Yeah. But no, so we're talking a lot about the WWE. Let's talk about somebody who recently left.
Oh, yes.
Or more so, he was cut.
Yeah, I would say he was thrown out on his keister. Yeah.
Is Del Rio. And so I talked about this a few episodes ago about Del Rio being cut, but there's been a lot of stuff that's happened in the past 2 weeks that I've just recently seen. And one of the big ones was he had an appearance at Triple Mania, which is the Triple A, not the insurance company, but the Mexican wrestling promotion as their big event. And so he actually came out and cut a promo at the beginning of the show with his dad, Dos Caras, you know, who's like a legend in that promotion, but just in Mexico in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so he come out, and then so he cuts a promo about how like his new name is El Patron, or like, you know, the boss, like the big guy.
Nice.
And he comes out and he says like El Patron is here to like make stuff happen. And then but during the middle of his speech, like the heels come out, and so it's funny. Because the heels, like, have, like, it's funny, in Spanish it sounds cool, but, like, in English it translates to be really gimmicky, and so it's Los Perros del Malo, or, like, pretty much, like, the bad dogs. So in Spanish it sounds tough, and it sounds awesome, but in English it's, like, That sounds so goofy.
Yeah, it's like in English it translates to the wacky wavy inflatable arm men.
Yeah, but and what's interesting is that the leader of these bad guys is actually Conan. How do you pronounce his name?
Conan.
Yeah. Used to be in WCW.
Arriba Raza.
Yeah, from the LWO.
Oh no! He was Wolfpack.
No, but he left the Wolfpack to join LWO, like the Latino World Order thing that they did.
I thought the Latino World Order ended before the Wolfpack did, because I do remember when Kevin Nash, when they started merging the black and white and the red and black and whatnot, yeah. After the other screw job, the finger poke of doom.
No, well, I think what it was is that the pretty much all the other members of the LWO were like, they were getting in their feud with the Wolfpack, and then I guess their whole storyline thing was like, Conan feels he wants to be with La Raza, yeah. And so he like jumped ship, and then that's when they were really like the Wolfpack was on him, and then I guess Eddie Guerrero got injured or something, so they had to kind of like cut the whole thing short.
Well, because I remember what happened was Rey Mysterio was very into the LWO. And like when they were trying to originally disband them or something like that, like Eddie and all, and Psychosis, I think. Was it Psychosis?
I think so.
And then they all threw off their shirts and whatnot, and you just saw Rey Mysterio there just standing in the ring, reluctant. He wouldn't do it. He stood, no way was he taking off his shirt. That was his thing. But
which is funny, because he was the one member that had to be forced in, because he originally didn't want to join.
Yeah, and then they tried to make him join the Wolfpack as well. And then they beat him down. That's when the Wolfpack turned on Conan, because Conan went to Rey Mysterio's aid.
Yeah, there you go.
You can see how much I remember about Monday Nitro from back in the day.
Dude, yeah, like
WCW Thunder.
Oh, dude, all the Monday Nitro's been off the air for like 13 years now, roughly.
Oh, let's see, what was it, 2003?
Okay, so like 11 years,
something like that. But no, it's been off the air for a long time. But I mean, you're used to seeing people like Booker T and whatnot as part of WWE rather than as WCW, even though that's where they got their start.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I said, Conan was there. He came and interrupted, and he even like slightly dissed the WWE in his little promo. He was pretty much
he does that on Twitter, I hear. Like, yeah. He's really critical. Really critical of the WWE, but yeah. Wasn't Rey Mysterio supposed to be there? But like,
yeah, I'll actually get into that in a second, because I have his whole dispute thing too.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get one dispute at a time.
Oh, continue.
And so pretty much like during his thing, he was like, "Well, you know, this isn't the WWE. This is real wrestling. There's no gimmick." He was saying this in Spanish. He's like, "There's no gimmicks. There's no. You can't see me. There's no yeses. It's just wrestling." And then they like diss his dad, and then they're trying to like egg Del Rio on to like hit him, but they're actually working a real like life situation with Del Rio, where he has a 90 day no like competition clause,
yeah,
exiting WWE, and so they're like, you know, they're like trying to push that and be like, oh, they're trying to egg him on. They like hit his dad, and then so like Del Rio tries to hit him back, but then his dad holds him back, and the announcers are like, it's like, oh, you can't do that because of the contract, so he's powerless, blah, blah, blah. And it actually worked really well.
Yeah, so they're actually using, like, the real angle, like, just the real-life angle in there, which seems to have worked out pretty good.
Yeah. And that whole situation is going on. And before we actually jump to Mysterio, we're going to... The other part of Del Rio's, I saw him on Telemundo. So I'm on Telemundo on the Spanish news, and he was talking about how he's actually suing the WWE because part of his termination, it involved he cannot wrestle in the United States for one whole year. And so he's actually taking them to court about the legality of that. And so, because he said he consulted three different lawyers, or I guess three lawyers within the same firm, and they're all saying that that's unconstitutional, that they can't prohibit, you know, someone from working in their trade for a whole year.
Well, and that wouldn't affect him if he wanted to go to AAA, though. I mean,
yeah, because they're in Mexico.
Okay, but they would prevent him from doing anything like
PWG, this is Vendetta Pro, anything else.
Well, I heard TNA was like really hard on trying to get him.
Yeah,
like I heard they were trying their asses off to get him, but if that clause in the contract stands true, though, that's not gonna happen.
Well, like I said, he's gonna go to court. He's prepping for that. So like we'll see how he does. But that's essentially the whole situation right now with him.
It depends too on like how hard WWE is going to stand by the gentleman that made the comments that pretty much set him off.
Yeah, you know, but the reason why I feel the WWE might push really hard against this, and it's not even so much to defend the person that Del Rio hit, but more so to be able to keep a clause like that in their contracts.
And plus, also maybe as an example too, just
like, this is what happens
for anybody else who decides to be defiant against the authority.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah. No, this could be like a major, like, this is what happens if you don't fall in line.
Kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. If you decide to, you know, push around or whatever, I mean, this could happen to you. So
yeah, so we'll see. Hope I you know, I want to see Del Rio, you know, come out of this, because like, the man should be, if he wants to go somewhere else after the 90 days is up, let him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let him. I mean, wrestling's his livelihood. I mean, just because WWE is a monopoly in the States, I mean, yeah, you know, it shouldn't prevent him, you know, anywhere else, you know, from, you know, doing what he loves to do.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Now, Mysterio, his is a little bit of an interesting situation. So essentially, his contract was done in May. And so he apparently had a verbal agreement with Triple H where he was like, yeah, you know, once you're done in May, that's cool. If you don't want to be here, I'm not going to force you. What good would it be to force you to be here?
Yeah.
And so he was under that agreement, assumption, and that's why he, like, was originally supposed to be at the Triple Mania, because, like, oh, well, this thing is in, like, August or whatever. I'll be free agent in May.
Exactly.
Let's make it happen. Well, I guess McVince pretty much pulled, like, is working a clause in the contract where it was like, well, this is pretty much in everyone's contract, where if you're injured for, like, a prolonged period of time, they can claim that as part of your contract that you didn't serve out.
And pretty much extended out to the point of time that he was
not
actually out there performing because he was injured, and more or less extend his contract.
Yeah, so they pretty much said, hey, nope, we're getting this time that you didn't give us because you were injured. So, and so now what Mysterio is doing is he's not cashing his checks. Because I forget what it is, but like, after so long of not cashing checks, like they legally like can't keep him on. Or something like that. I forget what the legal grounds was for not cashing his checks, but that's essentially what he's doing right now. And so we'll see how that pans out, because it'll be an interesting case. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, if a wrestler doesn't want to be there and his contract is technically up, why keep them there? You know, like, they're if their heart's not in it, they're not going to bring their A game, and it's only going to look bad on your behalf.
Well, what I read before it was official that Punk, you know, was done, was that I read somewhere that Vince might have tried to extend out his contract strictly to keep him from being a free agent.
Yeah.
And from him going anywhere else. But, I mean, just looking at the way Punk is now, I don't think he's even interested in wrestling anymore. I think he's just done.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if he's done permanently, but, like, as far as the foreseeable future, I feel he's like, I'm retired. I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want.
No, he's having fun, like, hanging with the Nerdist folk
He did a lot of stuff at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of videos. He did that, like, that Taganator video.
Yeah, I watched that one.
The best part is where that guy offs himself, and then they, like, shoot to that shot of him in the trash can.
Yeah, he just, like, sticking his head up.
He's just so... It was great.
Oh, Phil, you are so wacky.
I love Phil. No, and I want to see him do more stuff like that, because he was also the host of the AP, Alternative Press Magazine's award show, their first, like, award show this year. So he was the red... He even made a diss to WWE when he was on the red carpet, because apparently originally they wanted him to host like the award show, but and he even says this, so he goes, yeah, so they wanted me to host the whole award show, and this is me kind of not quoting him 100%, but close enough, because they wanted me to host the whole shebang, but I originally had a prior engagement on Monday nights that wouldn't have let me do that, but I don't have it anymore, so here I am. You know.
Oh, jeez.
And so, yeah. So he was hosting that, and he even got to present... he presented Billy Corgan with an award that night. And so I think it was like... It was the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I was going to say, there's two people on stage I never thought I'd see together.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. I take that back. Billy Corgan owns a wrestling promotion.
Yeah, no.
So,
sorry. That's why they had
Punk. I was going to say, strike that, reverse it. No, I read about that. It's in Chicago.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I forget the name escapes me, but I was like reading up on it on Wikipedia.
Yeah, No, yeah, Billy loves wrestling.
Yeah.
And so that's why they wanted, well, Punk, they're both, you know, Chicago dudes in that sense. So he's like, well, let's have him do it. And so, like, Punk, like, does, like, a 90-second, like, intro for Billy. And then at the end of it, he goes, now that's what they wrote for me. Now here's what I'm going to fucking say. And then he went on for, like, another 6 minutes just hyping up Billy. And it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then he gives him the award. It's funny because Punk's speech for introducing Billy is longer than Billy's speech.
Well, Billy's speech probably like, yeah, thank you, hi.
No, he was just saying like, hey, thanks for this award, and you know, he said a couple of things, and then he ends with, and remember, people, it's not bad to make money. Money is not scary. I didn't get in this industry to become somebody's bitch. I came here to do what I wanted to do. So if anyone tells you to not do something, they can go piss off.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, it wasn't 100% what he said, but that's close enough. I mean, it's very Billy Corgan. That's how he's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I said, I would like to see Punk do more of that. If anything, you know, have that guy on Midnight. What else is he doing?
He's supposed to be, I heard, like, rumors he's going to be, like, starting his own, like, a band, or, you know, like, he was going to be doing a podcast, because he did the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah. That's a great episode.
But I heard he like wants to start his own podcast or whatever. But I don't know. It's all in the hands of the coach.
Yeah.
So coach.
No, in that band rumor, he was like saying like, oh, can someone teach me how to play drums? And my friend Jono, who plays in the smaller band called the Swellers, actually tweeted at him and was like, let's do something. And so part of him was like, dude,
respond.
Like, well, they like know each other, like, because like Punk does listen to them. And I was like, dude, that would be so awesome.
Because
Jono's a rad guy. Yeah, so dude, we've talked about wrestling for like close to 40 minutes now.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'm not hating. We had a lot to talk about.
Oh, well, you too can experience the magic and wonder for only $9.99 a month with a 6-month commitment. Yeah, WWE Network.
You can get the shirt.
Oh, you can get the shirt for only $9.99, but I'm sure the shipping and handling will really mark that up. The shipping and handling with WWE Shop is no joke.
Yeah, dude, I'm surprised. Like, that's why I try not to order there. That's why I'm like, come on, just send it to Hot Topic so I can buy it.
Well, yeah, but no, the time that I'll do it is if they have like a BOGO or like a buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half off, and I'll get one for myself, and I'll get a shirt for my wife, the Banshee, who won't wear it.
Just buy it for me.
Yeah, no, I need to remember what your size is. I know.
In WWE, it's usually a medium because theirs have like a nice fit.
I was gonna say my shirts come in fluffy. So
yeah, fluffy. Well, no, what are the five levels? It's there's big, healthy.
There's healthy, husky, fluffy,
and damn.
That was four. So it's like,
well, fat, like, no, it's big, healthy, husky, fluffy, and damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say you're more on the husky, not quite fluffy, because Gabriel's a big guy.
Oh, no, I don't think I'm anywhere near fluffy, thankfully.
Yeah, he's not even really near as fluffy as he used to be, because he's been working out and eating better, because he was dealing with diabetes or whatever. Or I forget, I think it was diabetes. He was dealing with something.
Yeah, when you're dealing with something, that's usually when the red flag comes up and you start trying.
Yeah, but, well, because he even worked it into his bit where the doctor's like, you might only have, like, 5 years left to live eating like this. And he's like, but I just now started making money.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so he's like, obviously I want to enjoy the money that I'm bringing in a lot longer than 5 years, so I had to make some changes.
Yeah, and then, you know, the money buys a lot of food.
Yeah. You know, and he was, he even had DDP helping him lose weight.
That's the thing, that DDP yoga just, it seems to be helping everybody. I mean, it's, you know, you got Scott Hall, you got Jake the Snake, I think Goldust was on it.
It's not even just DDP yoga, like, if you know DDP, he will just help you change your life.
Ask Jake. He will let you move in.
They should give Jake, see, that's what WWE should, they should give Jake, or not Jake, DDP, a reality show wherein he takes WWE fans who want to lose weight and see who can stay committed.
Jeez, you should sell that to the WWE Network.
I should pitch them.
Pitch that to them. I'm sure DDP is probably going to be like right behind you, just like
it'll help him push, like, DDP yoga.
Exactly, it'll be a nice 30-minute commercial for him, and you know, it'll be like Celebrity Fit Club, but with WWE super fans.
Yeah, dude, it would be great. Like, could you imagine all the buzz and hubbub of all these fans, like, trying to live with DDP for like a 4 to 6 week program?
He's just gonna walk up behind you, bang. just give you diamond cutters randomly.
No, that's how you get eliminated. Like, you get a diamond cutter and you're out of the house.
Oh man.
Yeah, but with that note, we're gonna. I don't think we can top this reality show idea.
So I think we're ending on the highest note possible for tonight.
Yeah. So we're gonna call tonight. Thanks for listening. Next week, I will have another special guest, and depending on how things go, we might have to have Neff back on in a couple weeks.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so take care. Thanks for listening to MemoCast, and keep it real, guys.
See you later. Say goodbye.